Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So some of you may have seen on Instagram, I've actually titled this message, Don't, full stop, stop thinking about tomorrow. Some of you know it was an old song by someone. Fleetwood Mac. Is it? See, you know Tony's age just by that comment right there. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? But if I sang the song to you, you'd know it. And it simply goes like this. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. No, no. What he's preaching is not what I'm preaching. He's telling you to don't stop thinking. I'm saying don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Yeah, so we're putting a bit of a twist on that today. And the reason for this is because of the conversations I have and because of what I experience. And so, do you know, today I want to talk about anxiety. I want to talk about worry. And I want us to know its purpose and its possible destruction in our life. So medical doctors would estimate that more than 25% of their patients are what they called the worried well. And some of you are a part of that 25%. Doctors are spending a great chunk of their time examining people who are not sick. They're just worried that they're sick. And because they're worried, it's going to make them sick. And some of us are in the room right now. You feel a pain and you're dying. You're basically dying. And doctors are telling us that they're seeing more and more of this, and because the diet of the day, guys, is anxiety and worry. And it's the what if plague. What if I lose my job? What if I smash my car? What if my house gets robbed? What if I get cancer? What if my kids want to leave home? What if my kids want to move back home? That's probably even a bigger problem. Some people's biggest worry is that you've got nothing to worry about, and you're worried about that because like life is just so good. And so there's, you know, a joke about a young guy and he makes the comment that my mum is such a warrior, not warrior, worrier. You know, one cough and she thinks I've got bronchitis. One headache and she thinks I've got a brain tumour. One swear word and she thinks I'm going to be a Tiger supporter. It's just, people, come on guys, the footy season's coming. We know that it's just Lifehouse culture. We just got to, Collingwood Tigers, always got to cop a little bit, especially while I've got the mic. You know, some of you may not know this because you see me up here and I preach and you wouldn't usually see me fall apart. Maybe I might get a bit emotional. But those of you who know me very, very well would know that anxiety and nervousness and worry has been a big part of my life. I would only say in the last few years, but I didn't even know what it was. And I would wake up, and some of you are experiencing this and you don't even know what it is, but you're waking up in the middle of the night with terrorizing thoughts. You never had it before, but now you're waking up and your heart is beating and you're thinking about stuff. And have you noticed that it's like a 10 out of 10 worry as you're coming out of that sleep, but later on that morning, you're thinking, what was I even worrying about? Yeah, that's one of the signs of anxiety. And, you know, chest pain, some of you would also know that I went to a conference in New Zealand almost three years ago. During the worship, I'm on the front row. There's 2,000 people in the room and I'm in the second row and I start to get this chest pain that, you know, it's like, and then I've done a little bit of research about the whole chest pain, heart attack thing. And then the next thing apparently that's you're supposed to look out for is, you know, like the numbing of the arm, apparently start to get tingling. So I'm just standing there, I've got my hands in worship, and I'm thinking, how are the arms going? And then I could have sworn there was like a bit of a tingling running down my arm. And now my heart's beating even harder and the chest pain. And I'm thinking, OMG, I'm going to have a heart attack in front of 2,000 people. You know, I wasn't too worried about dying. I was just thinking, I'm going to ruin the conference. That's all I was worried about. You know, that Pastor Paul DeYoung's going to get up and say, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Rich Kubakin's just having a heart attack up here. Can we just all exit the room? And then ambos are coming in and I'm dying on the ground. I've got my chest open and they've got the, you know, the sticky things and everyone's looking at my hairy chest and people are walking past me. And that I envisaged the whole thing. And because of that, I literally left the room thinking, I've got to just have my heart attack outside. I go into the lounge, the guest lounge, and they're like, can we help you? And I'm just like, oh, I've just got a bit of chest pain. Chest pain? And they're like, and you know, there are some people, they're just too eager to help, right? Because they've got a whole ambo team at this church, right? I'm probably the first guy that's ever needed one. So they're like, finally, someone's dying. I'm serious. Finally. Man, we've been doing this thing for like 8 years and we've never had to use our gifts. So all of a sudden they come up, they put my legs, I'm not a word of a lie, they put my legs up, right? This is a guest lounge. This is all my friends from all over the world in this lounge, right? No one's in there yet. And I'm like, oh, you know, no, I'm sure I'm okay. Anyway, gas mask. And I'm like, it's not really that bad, you know? I'm sure I'm fine. No, no, no. Has there been anyone in your family that has had some sort of heart attack? Well, there is. No way. Quick. They ring up the hospital. An ambulance comes for me. So the ambulance pulls up right in front of the doors of the guest lounge. So people start coming out of the conference now and they see an ambulance. And they're like, who died? And there's Pastor Richard in the little invalid wheelchair. And in I go. You know, you don't make up stories like this, right? So I'm off on my way to the hospital and they're doing the blood test and this and that and my wife's beside me. Now, if you know anything about Helen, if I could have attached pins to her eyes and attached them to a washing machine, we could have done a load of washing because her eyes were just rolling the whole time, right? She was just like, he's fine. He'll be okay. I'm like, I'm dying. Like, I just imagined my tombstone would say, I told you, Helen. That's what I would have got put on it. I told you. Anyway, I didn't quite know what was going on, but I honestly thought I was dying. So, you know, I go to the hospital. They end up doing the thing. And 2 hours later, the nurse comes in and she says, look, I've got your results. You haven't had a heart attack. And I'm like, you sure about that? My wife's like, I said, well, so then what's going on? And she says, are you anxious? I said, no. She goes, is there anything going on in your world that is causing you some stress? I said, oh, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. Absolutely. And she says, yeah, you know what? You might not want to admit to it, but you know what? Stress, worry, it leads to anxiety, which leads to your body needing to express it somehow, and what it's doing is it's putting pain around your chest. The minute she said that, I've made a decision. Nothing is worth worrying about. And immediately as I did that, it went away. Anytime I start to feel a bit of a chest pain, I'm thinking, you know what? I run. I'm pretty healthy. I eat pretty well. I doubt that because I've done all the checks, by the way. I've done all the checks. The doctors say you've got an above average healthy heart is what they tell me. So why do I get this chest pain? Anxieties. Stress. And so today I want to talk about this because this is real for me and it's real for many others. And I'm sure many of you could really speak into this far deeper than I ever could possibly could. But let me give it just a couple of disclaimers. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, neurologist. I am none of those things. But let me tell you what I do have. I have the Word of God, and the Word of God does say a lot about anxieties and about worry. And I do apologize, in all honesty. I know that sometimes a message like this can be a little jejune and people can think, really, you know, are you the most qualified person? No, I'm sure it will come across quite simplistic, but funny enough, it works.
Yeah, it's good.
And so I just really want to speak to you about this today because Jesus himself had a lot to say about this topic. And today my desire is that you would be completely set free, that you would live the life God has called you to, and that you can do everything that he wants to do in your life. Amen? So Jesus was asked about prayer one day. Now, this is the year of living a life never without you, Lord. So if there's, let me tell you what that's really all about. It's in every moment of your life, inviting God in. That's what never without you means. Right, some of you are starting to pick this up, that we're just not going to do church and do God on Sundays. We're not even going to do him just on Wednesdays and pray about things on Wednesdays. No, you're going to need him Monday afternoon at about 4:36. You're going to need him Tuesday morning. You're going to need him on Thursday afternoon. We need God. And I want us to have that attitude, and I'm loving that it's starting to grow in your lives. So here's Jesus. He gets asked about prayer, and then he says this in Matthew 6:11. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And have you ever noticed this statement in verse 11 where he says, "Give us today our daily bread"? How many of us know that verse? Give us today. I think most of us, what we think that means, and I certainly thought that this is what it means, and I'm sure it does mean this: God, give me some food today. Don't let me starve to death. And I'm sure maybe even in their time, that's probably a legitimate prayer. God, don't let me starve to death. Give me today my daily bread. And there's nothing wrong with that prayer. It could also mean, God, give me the provision that I need. But if you actually know what Jesus is referencing, it's really, really powerful. And where it comes from was when the children of Israel were actually in the desert and they were hungry, they had trouble, they had needs. And so they cry out to God and they say, God, feed us. And so God decides to send them this thing called manna. Anyone heard of manna? Manna was a type of bread that God would supernaturally send down from heaven every morning. Say it with me. Every morning. They would wake up and there would be manna there. So God then tells the children of Israel how they ought to collect it. And in Exodus 16:4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I am going to rain down food from heaven for you.'" Look at the next word. "Each day." Right? Each day, not once a week. "Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day." He says, "I'm going to test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions." The people of God were waking up every morning and they had a need. They were hungry. And God said, "Great, so you've got a need in your life. You've got some trouble in your life. No problem. I have got the manna for you to solve that problem that day. So you've got a problem today, I've got the cure for you today." And it was a good deal. So you would wake up hungry because, you had your shawarma last night and you had your little short black and a little bit of baklava, because that's what they were eating back then. And so you'd wake up in the morning and like, "God, I'm hungry." And you walk outside and there's all this food and you're allowed to grab as much as you like. Some of you would have done like the keto thing. Some of you would have had a lot because like, I'm just trying to watch it. And then some of you would have just gone for your life. But what you weren't allowed to do was what we see them do in verses 19 and 20. It says, "Then Moses told them," watch this, "do not keep any of it until the morning." In other words, don't try and gather bread for the day after. Oh man, you're going to love this message, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to say this is one of the best messages you've ever heard. I'll tell you why, because it's changed my life. Watch this. He says, "But some of them didn't listen, and they kept some of it until morning. By then, it was full of maggots, and it had a terrible smell." And Moses was very angry with them. Jesus says, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." He was referencing this. What these people did is they were picking up bread for that day. But guess what else they were doing? Thinking about tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, "Wow, this is awesome. But what if this doesn't happen tomorrow? What if this..." And they started to think about tomorrow. And God says, "Don't do that. Just think about today. Because any trouble that you've got going on in your life right now, God says, I've got what you need today. I've got the strength you need, the wisdom you need, the knowledge you need for today's troubles. I can give you what you need for today. But if you start thinking about tomorrow, God says, that's not the way I taught you to pray. Because when he says, you ought to pray like this, he doesn't say, Father, give us today the bread for the next 7 weeks. He doesn't say that. He says, God, give me today the bread that I need today. God, give me the strength today that I need today. God, give me the patience that I need in my marriage today. Today. And sometimes we're thinking way too far in advance. And what it does, guys, is it brings maggots and it brings a really bad smell to our Christian life. It brings stuff into our world that God himself says, I never asked you to live like this. Now, Jesus echoes this thought again, just a few verses later in Matthew 6, verse 34. Jesus says this as clear as day. Come on, let's read it out together. 1, 2, 3. So don't worry about tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. That's what Jesus believes we ought to do. Now, let's just talk about Jesus for a moment. He's more than a prophet. The man who spoke these words, as he was speaking them to these human beings in front of him, you've got to understand something about him. He wasn't just a prophet, although he is. He wasn't just a great teacher, although he is. He wasn't just a nice man, although he is. The Bible tells us who he is. In John chapter 1, it tells us exactly who it is. Watch. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Friends, it's talking about Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. Watch this verse. Through him all things were made, including human beings. So when Jesus is making that statement about don't think about tomorrow, he's talking about people that he made. He knows how you work. And he's trying to say, listen, I built you. You're not made to think about tomorrow. You're made to think about today. Please hear what I'm saying. We're talking about the maker of human beings. We really ought to listen to what he's saying. What he's saying is every morning when you wake up, God gives you the strength, the grace to carry out and to overcome any obstacle you are thinking about today, not tomorrow. So I'm just going to show you what I mean by this. I need some guys to come up here and help me. You know who you are. Come up here very, very quickly. Watch this. This is what the Bible is telling us. Give them a huge round of applause. We're missing one. Here we go. Okay, right. Yeah, let me just put this over here. All right, guys, so just say, you're about there and you can stay about there. Are you ready? This is how you're supposed to do life. You wake up in the morning, God showers you with grace. He showers you with an anointing. And I pray, God, today, never without you. And God now starts to download stuff. Why? Because there are troubles coming that I have to carry. Now, guess what? Right? I can carry this guy. Can't do it for too long, but I could do it for about 24 hours. Right? So I'm thinking about life's journeys. I'm thinking about all the decisions I've got to make. But there's a big problem. I'm not just thinking about today's problems. I'm thinking about tomorrow's as well. So I've got to now not just carry this guy, but I've also now got to carry this guy. But see, that's okay. I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about tomorrow. But then I'm going to think about next week as well.
I'll get on the back.
Come on, I can do this. I can think about tomorrow because I'm a good strategic planner. I can do this. I'm awesome. I'm a great business guy. I can't do this anymore. I can't. This is my life. But Doctor, I feel worn out. I feel like my life is, I feel heavy. for 1 hour, I've got no passion. Oh, here, take a pill. Oh, okay. I'll take a pill. Not against medication. It could help you reset. Okay, let's try this again. I can do today's journey. Awesome. Yeah, I feel better. That medication really works. So what am I going to do again Thursday? Yeah, I've got a conference, I've got to preach at. Help me, Lord. Why don't you help me? Why? Why don't you love me? Why is my life out of... Really? I was doing well with this guy. And the reality is, I'm really unfit. That's the reality. Give my young colleagues here a huge round of applause. Pastor Richard, does that mean we can't plan? I don't need that pill. I'll save it for later. Yeah, straight back in the pocket. Yep, you saw that. Hey, listen, you can strategize about tomorrow. He doesn't say you can't strategize. Doesn't say you can't plan. Doesn't say you can't get excited about tomorrow. You can be excited about tomorrow. You can envisage tomorrow. You're just not allowed to carry tomorrow. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on. George Gallup did a study. Some of you may or may not know who he is. He writes books constantly on studies. And he studied 402 people who lived over the age of 95. So he wanted to know what did they do. He wanted to know the secret of their longevity. And he found that the common factor was a lack of anxiety, a lack of worry, and a lack of tension. What's it saying? It's just not that important. Because you're going to be so worried about getting things right, it's going to kill you. So why don't we make a decision? It just doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, so good.
And let's just enjoy today.
Yeah.
There are going to be troubles today, but God said, I've given you the grace for that. I just haven't given you the grace for Tuesday yet. So stop trying to accumulate grace when you don't need it. You don't need that grace yet. You just have to trust God that that grace is going to be waiting for you every single day in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a huge round of applause. So here it is. Very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Here it is. Here's the never without you scripture. So don't worry about anything. This is what it says in another version. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, do life never without him. Instead, pray about everything. That's what we're doing this year. So as you start to feel nervousness or worry, start to penetrate, start to take hold of you, you stop and you say, God, I'm not doing that. I'm going to pray about what I'm nervous about and then I'm leaving it up to you. Tell God what you need. And thank him for what he's done. In other words, he got you this far, didn't he?
Yeah. Right.
Why can't he get you through the rest of the week? Why can't he get you through next month? Why can't he get you through the year? But he's pretty serious about it because then he says, then you will experience God's peace.
Yeah, so good.
The key word there is the word then. After you've done what he just said, you're going to experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your heart. It's going to, did you hear that? It's going to guard your heart, Richard. His peace will guard that tension, that horrible feeling, that pit in your stomach. He's going to guard you and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Come on, some of you need to receive that into your heart of hearts. Never without you. Proverbs 12, 25. Come on, let's talk practically. What do we need then? The Bible says anxiety in the heart of a man or woman causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Okay, let's work backwards. Do you know what's probably caused the anxiety? Some bad words. Someone's bad, the media's bad words. The economy is shot. No one's building houses. How are you going to survive? Not one person in all of Australia is ever going to build a house ever again. No one's going to invest. You're going to be living under a bridge. You just believed someone's words, that's all. You don't realize you're not under that economy. You're under God's economy. He's going to do whatever He wants to do in your life. Oh, everyone's being laid off. Yeah, but not you. And even if that does happen, the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging for bread. He's got another job waiting for you. That's what He's going to do with you. But the Bible says a good word makes it glad. Listen, get around good people. If you're feeling anxiety, you're hearing the wrong words. You're hearing the words of what? You're 23, you're not a millionaire. You know what I'm trying to say. Some people in this room, you are nervous because you're 30 and you haven't bought 8 homes yet. And you should have. Who told you that? Hey, it would be wonderful, but you don't know what God's got planned for you in the future and how you're going to get there. Come on. Whose words are you listening to? A good word. That's why we come to our church. Worship is important. Fellowship is important. But so is the word that goes out here, washes over our souls and causes anxiety to lift. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Him a huge round of applause. What else are we getting anxious about? What people say about you. Not just about the economy and the world, but about you. You know, just yesterday, a girl that I love dearly, big part of my world, she was dating a guy, and I said, why did it not work out? And she said, oh, because he hates you, Pastor Richard. Oh, okay. Wow. Just when I thought everyone loved me. And she said, no, that's okay, but yeah, he just doesn't think very highly of you, doesn't think very much of you. Okay, that's someone's words. She wasn't saying it to me, she was just reiterating what he said. But you know, I've got to be honest with you, I've got to be really honest with you, water off a duck's back. I couldn't care less what anyone says about me. I do care what he says about me. And I believe what he says. I am righteous before God. I am loved. I am anointed. Whether you love me or whether you don't, your words don't affect me. Oh, come on, surely they do. No, they have the ability to, but I'm going to make a decision that I'm a pretty good guy. Am I perfect? No. Who is? Do I make mistakes? Yes. Is my heart good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are my intentions good? Yep. Yeah, come on. We need to rise above the stuff that causes anxiety in our life and not be so susceptible to these things. Amen. So this is what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. That's the continuation of that verse. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I love this. One final thing. How many? How many?
One.
Poke the person beside you and say, just one. Just one. Poke them hard. One. Here it goes. Are you ready? Here it is. Fix your thoughts. Do you know how, like, you've got to fix your car? Do you know how you've got to fix your house?
Yeah, it's good.
Do you know how you've got to fix your shirt? Fix your thoughts. I like that. Come on, Pastor Derek, you love that too. Yeah, fix your thoughts. How do you fix your thoughts? Fix them on what is true. Do you know what you're anxious about? Most of it is not even true. Most of it is not even true. Some of it may be. Most of it isn't. The part that is, God's going to give you the grace for it. The part that's a lie, there's no grace for a lie. If it's not even true, why would God give you the grace for it? Oh, I'm so nervous I'm going to lose my job. Heaven knows you're not going to lose it, right? And you're like, God, give me the grace for it. And God says, you don't need it. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to lose. But God, give me the grace. But you haven't lost your job. Yeah, but I'm like, God, when you do, I'll give you the grace for it. I'll give you the bread when you need it. Yeah, but I sort of just want it now. Why? So I can get filled with maggots and smell. Yeah, it is good preaching, isn't it? No, really, it is. It's good. It's good stuff. Can I just keep going just for a moment longer? It says, fix your thoughts on what is honourable and right. I like this one, and pure. And pure. Do you know what causes some people anxiety? You're not really living a holy lifestyle in some area of your life, and it causes you to be anxious because you're so nervous about being caught. You're so nervous that it will be exposed. None of us know about it, and guess what? We don't serve a God that wants to expose you either, by the way. I know some of us think you serve that God. That's not what He does. He loves you so much. He will try and make a way for you so that you can just sort it out all in the darkness, to be honest, so that when you come out in the light, it's all sorted. You know, we do serve a God who's not out to embarrass you. Some of us think you serve that God. He's not out, but if it's going to destroy you, He will do whatever He's got to do to help you. He will. You know, I received an email recently, and it was to a really, really old email that's easy to actually get the address to. And I should have probably gone there first. But anyway, it didn't make a difference because this is the honest truth. The email came to me and it said, "Hey, stranger, comma, just want to let you know, I know what you got up to this week and I've got video footage of it." That's what it says. "I'm sure your wife wouldn't take too kindly if I sent it to her." I'm reading this thinking, what did I do last week? And then it says, "But if you send me $400, that's what it said, right? Send me." And then I thought, oh, okay. But the funny thing is I was thinking, imagine I was doing stuff last week. The anxiety that would have caused. Imagine I was doing something last week. Oh, here's a question for you. If you had got that email, would that have caused anxiety in you? Church, would it have caused anxiety in you? Or would you have gone, "I'm an open book. I've got nothing to be afraid of"? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that causes people anxiety? Because you know what? You're not living the life that God wants. And you know what? You're open to the attack of the enemy if you do that. Yeah, hearing what I'm saying? That's the enemy. That's the devil, by the way. Just trying to cast fear. But you know what? I'm thinking, I wonder how many people that would have affected though. Do you know, I'm going to put it to you this way, guys. Anxiety is not as evil as we think. It's basically a trigger to say you can't do life without Him. Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a trigger that goes, "Whoa, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Great.
Yeah, come on. So good.
God, I can't, never without you." That's all it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the carrying of four. Yeah. It's not supposed to be that. Anxiety is supposed to say, it's supposed to be an alarm. You're doing too much on your own. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not as evil as... Actually, God can really, really use it to say, stop doing life on your own. That's all it's... But how long before we do that? And we've gone to go see doctors and friends and destroyed our marriages, and when really it should have been a quick, on your knees. On your knees. Pull your car over if you have to. If you're getting really anxious before you get to work, pull your car over. Put some worship music on if you have to. "Lord God, I'm feeling very anxious right now. I'm just telling you, Father, I need you. I can't do my job without you. Please, God, today, can you give me the bread that I need? Can you give us this day our daily bread? Can you give us this day our daily bread?" Amen. Church, come on. Anxiety, worry, not from God. It's purpose. Ultimately, destruction. Initially, turn you to God. Come on, let's make a decision today. We're going to use anxiety to drive us to our knees so that we will be people that do life never without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you receive it? Come on.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.